Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, happy Friday, everybody. And just like a John Gray start, we've had to go to the bullpen early. Mark Schlereth unable to get through the lineup a third time, a second time even, as he's had to tap out. After 1 hour to go over to the Philadelphia Eagles facility where he's going to be prepping for the broadcast he's doing on Fox. See what he's got. He's got the Eagles and 49ers. So in for the bullpen, my man Nick Ferguson. We just heard from Cecil Lammy, now his nighttime partner, Nick Ferguson. Thanks for coming in a pinch. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. That's what you have to do when you have to go to the bullpen. Mariano Rivera.
That's right. Yes. You're coming in to close.
To close.
This will be a three-inning save,
yes,
though. This will not be a clean sheet to start the ninth. You're coming in for three innings like they used to do. Well, you earned a save. Hey, I appreciate you, first of all, just being here on time.
Why do you live in the past?
Well, why live in the past? It was the last time you filled in regularly for Mark for more than 1 day. I think it was a 3 day. Was it a 3 day jaunt with us? 3 or 4? And you know, you came in on day one and day two. Ah, man, I love this morning routine. I get up early. I come in. I get my coffee, my breakfast. This is great. You know, I love this. I'm a morning guy. And then day three, we're getting ready to kick the show off at 6. I'm like, hey, Ben, where's Nick? I don't know. I've been calling him, texting him. No answer. Sure. 7 o'clock, you come rolling in. I'm sorry. I overslept.
Well, here's what
just
I wanted to do.
Morning guy.
Yeah, I'm a morning guy. What I wanted to do.
Sorry.
When you first start out, you want to set the bar high.
Right.
So that's what I was trying to do. And I was like, okay, well, let me test Mike to see if he has the patience. So I said, well, yeah, on that third or fourth day, I said, well, let me kind of meander in.
Oh, yeah, you meandered in, all right. Yeah, you just traipsed in right at your own speed. That's good. I'm glad you're here. And is it just me Friday where we give chances to people to get stuff off their chest heading off into the weekend? All they have to do, it could be about anything and everything, hot takes, observations, critiques, praise, what have you. Just give it to us in the form of, is it just me? And this one in from Gary in Mead. He says, is it just me or everyone is acting like the Jags are a gimme? I hope they kick the Broncos' butt. I don't know if I agree with that, Gary. But what about the idea? Do you see any risk of the Broncos getting that elusive September win and perhaps letting down against the Jacksonville team that everybody expects them to beat?
No, I don't see that, Mike, because this team knows how important it is to win, you know, in September. That first win was a taste of how things used to be. It hasn't been like that here in a while. And once you get that winning feeling after not being feeling it for a while, you like it. It's like a jolt of energy. And I just go back to what Von Miller said to Teddy Bridgewater on the sideline. Hey, you know what? We haven't felt this way since 18 was here. And those pep talks that you give continue to give those types of pep talks. And we already know that Von is one heck of a player. But when you look at him from a leadership standpoint, being that rah-rah guy, that's not who he is. That's not an indictment on Von. But he just knows that he leads in other ways. For me, when I played for this team, Champ Bailey was kind of the same way. I mean, we call him like a silent assassin, like Steve Atwater. He's not going to say too much. He's not the rah-rah guy. But once you get in a game, you need an impact play. He was going to make that play to change the game. That's how Von is. So he understands the type of quarterback that Teddy is. But this is still a game that the Broncos could lose, because think about what we saw in Jacksonville. 3 touchdowns, three interceptions, I believe, for Trevor Lawrence. That showed, like, in that first quarter, that first half, he wasn't on. He wasn't connecting with his wide receivers. But they scored 7 points third quarter, second, third, and fourth quarter. So this still is a team that can score.
Yeah, I just don't buy right now. Maybe, hopefully, we'll get back to the point where the Broncos are good enough, great enough, that we can worry about trap games. This isn't one of them. And I would think,
Mike, I really don't care.
I would think the mentality around that building this week is one of hunger, of this feels good.
Yeah.
I want more of this. Let's put in the extra film study. Let's get in some extra conditioning. Let's make sure we do everything we need to do to go down there and get another win. So if I have no concerns whatsoever about them somehow overlooking the Jaguars. None at all. This team will be ready to go.
Absolutely. And to put it into terms that everyone can understand, it's like going on a diet where you're depriving yourself and you haven't eaten donuts in a while. Then all of a sudden you eat a donut and you remember how it felt, how your body felt, the sugar inside of your mouth. And
diabetes.
That's right. When you're salivating for, that's how this is for the Denver Broncos. So they're looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars as that delectable donut, that Krispy Kreme donut, that hot sign donut.
Oh, man.
Yeah, see? See, there, I took you right there, right? You
know, jelly filled.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yes.
Extra powder.
That chocolate eclair.
Oh, man, I love donuts.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, why didn't you bring in donuts?
Well, it was either
you,
me.
You football guys, what is with you? For you, Stokely? I mean, don't you know your role?
You got to choose. For me getting here on time, or donuts. What do you want?
All I hear. Oh, yeah, the rookies, they pick up the donuts on the way in. It's Friday. They bring in the donuts, you know. I mean, hey, bring in the donuts. I brought in McDonald's for Benny this morning. I took care of Benny.
Wait a minute. Then you knew I was coming in, so why didn't you give me McDonald's?
Because it had been cold by
then. Oh, see, excuses.
Plus, I expected the donuts. Okay, we're off and rolling here on this second hour. Is it just me of Friday? And we'll get into more of Vaughn. Vaughn didn't want what was said to Teddy to become public knowledge. Why not? That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Nick Ferguson in for Snake, who had to leave early as he's heading off to the Eagles facility to prepare for the broadcast on Sunday, Eagles and 49ers. So we'll have Mark back on Monday in time to break down the Jaguars and the Broncos. We're talking about Von Miller and the idea that, hey, don't worry, the Broncos, they're not going to overlook Jacksonville. They're going to be ready. They're hungry. Winning game one, winning a game since September doesn't make them fat and complacent. It makes them hungry. And Vaughn even shared and was caught mic'd up, unaware, or he had forgotten about being mic'd up, about how he said, hey, this is a feeling I haven't felt around here since Peyton was here talking to Teddy Bridgewater. He expanded on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of forgot that I was mic'd up. I don't like, you know, putting like, you know, stuff out there. That was a, you know, a moment for me and Teddy. But, you know, it's out there and, you know, I don't want anybody to, you know, feel a certain way because I told Teddy that. But I told Teddy the truth. You know, I told Teddy the truth. He definitely has this vibe about him that guys, you know, want to play for. You know, guys believe in Teddy. You know, he's been a veteran in this league. He sat behind Drew Brees. He was on track to win MVP with the Minnesota Vikings. So he knows how to do it, and he carries himself in a way that, you know, people want to play for him, people believe in him. You know, I think it was a fourth down, in the game where he kind of like stuttered and stiff on the guy and threw it to Albert O. You know, that's just heart, and that's just, nobody can draw that up. There's no coach on our on our coaching staff or in the NFL that can teach you how to do that. Teddy had it. Teddy had the fight to go out there and win for the football team. And, you know, some of the things that he says, some of the things that he tells everybody before, you know, games and stuff, me personally, I just believe it. And I'm a hard guy to, you know, I'm a hard guy to just believe everything that everybody say. But, you know, you can definitely feel it with Teddy. And, you know, I told Teddy that. I think that was, you know, towards the end of the game, and I had saw him. And, you know, I just told him I'm a firm believer in giving people their flowers, you know, while they're still here. And, you know, Teddy, he definitely deserves the love for sure.
Vaughn, I love Vaughn because one thing is consistent with Vaughn over the years. As the Broncos have run through bad quarterback after bad quarterback, he loves them all. Whenever asked about any quarterback, oh, he's a great quarterback. I love this guy. Doesn't matter. From Brandon Allen to Case Keenum to all the dreck that we've had in between.
Keenum, there's the interception.
He's always said nice things about the quarterback. So what makes this different? Is this different? Or is this just Vaughn being Vaughn? He's always going to say nice things about his quarterbacks.
Well, as a player, you always toe the company line. And you say the best things when the mic is in front of you. Now, I mean, I know they're doing Hard Knocks for the season. I wish they were able to do it where they put the cameras in the car so you can actually hear what players really think once they get in the car. But this is a little different, Mike. I've heard those sound bites of him talking about other quarterbacks, but I've never heard him refer to other guys as far as giving them flowers. This seems like a different, it's the same Vaughn, but it's a little different, a little more expressive Vaughn as he spoke about Teddy in great detail. Usually when he spoke about those other quarterbacks, it was maybe 15, 20 seconds, really brief, say some great things about him, but he kind of expanded on it. He focused on one particular play, and that was a great play, and he was absolutely right. I mean, you can draw something up if you're Pat Shermer. What you can't count on is the improvisation. That's where, you know, we are drawn in as defenders, because we know as a quarterback you have a job just like we have the job. But when you can make those type of off schedule plays that no one is anticipating, that's when we look at each other on defense and go, you know what, we got a guy.
Mm-hmm. I know he referenced that play. But when I hear the comparisons to Peyton, it's more about, hey, I haven't seen a quarterback come in here and really command the room like you do. I haven't seen it. I haven't felt it since Peyton was here.
But that says something. That says a lot.
Oh, no, that speaks volumes. That is a huge endorsement, a ringing endorsement. And the fact that he did say, hey, I forgot I was mic'd up. And what I say privately and think privately is different than what I may say, you know, publicly in one of these 15-second sound bites that I've been saying over the last few years. Whenever you ask me about, you know, Joe Flacco and Brandon Allen, of course, what do you expect me to say? I mean, I'm not going to say bad things. They're my quarterback for the moment. Of course, I'll try to pump them up. But this does seem like it was more honest, more revealing.
Oh, absolutely, because... Well, when I know when we break down what Vaughn said, and no, we're not saying Teddy is Peyton Manning, but the leadership qualities that a quarterback must possess for his teammates, but more importantly, defensive guys to kind of support you, that's important. Like Trevor Siemian probably, you know, he did a decent job, but Vaughn had some other things he probably would have said about him. You look at Paxton Lynch. It's the same thing. He's our quarterback, so I'm going to love him up. I want to make sure I build confidence in him. But if the cameras were on me and I was mic'd up, I would really reveal what I really think of him.
Nick, I don't know. I think we'd be hard-pressed to dig back in the archives and find Vaughn ever saying anything nice about Paxton. We got one in with Mark. We got one in with Nick. And Cecil. Did it.
What, really? Has that ever happened?
Oh, no. We've had four or five sometime. But in terms of, you know, slicing it up, you know, throughout the show where everybody gets a taste.
Piece of the pie.
I feel like a point guard right now. I feel like I'm just distributing. You know, you get a piece. You get a piece. Hey, Jokic, one for you. One for you, MPJ. Here you go.
I was thinking more like Oprah Winfrey. You know, when she give out gifts?
Right,
yes, that's
right,
what I'm saying.
Right,
yes. You
right,
get a Paxton.
That's
you
right,
get a Paxton.
Right. You get a smear. You get a smear. You get a smear. Texters, you get a smear. Hey, it's a Friday. Why not? And always remember, Paxton deserves this. Okay? For all of you who are like, why are you so
mean?
Why are you so mean to Paxton? Hey, sorry, man. I mean, he earned this. He earned this. Lock, stock, and barrel. He earned
this. He's a tall guy.
Earned it. All right, we got four down territory coming up. We're also going to get to your keys to the game as you've taken all kinds of notes in the smallest writing I've ever seen. Folks, I'm looking over at Nick's notes page, and Sandy Clough doesn't write that neatly. Look at that.
Bow chickabella.
I'm impressed. Anyway, you'll tell us why the Broncos will win, what your keys to victory are, coming up right after Four Down Territory. That's next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
It's just like basketball. You gotta, the big man, he has to eat. Kobe and Shaq, you know, Shaq is not gonna be happy if he's not scoring points. Kobe's not gonna be happy unless he's scoring points as well. So we gotta develop we're already developing a relationship where we both can eat, and I feel confident, and I believe that we both can be able to get sacks, and we both can do things to make this team win and get sacks and do all the wonderful things that we do.
Tell you what, I've been covering football for a long time. I learned something yesterday that apparently you can, as a defensive player, you can lobby, petition to have a sack or a half sack awarded to you that you feel you didn't get credit for. And Von Miller admitting that at times he's had sacks that he had to share with another player that he was able to lobby to get full credit and take that half sack away from somebody else. Nick, did you ever do that during your playing career? Did you ever see guys do that? Are you okay with guys like Vaughn doing that?
Well, first of all, I've never done it myself because during my playing time with Larry Coryer, he would never blitz me. He would always blitz John Lynch. So I was never in that situation. But
he says with no anger whatsoever.
Right. But I've seen players do it before because those half sacks and sacks, at the end of the year, there's a totality that you're trying to get to because there are incentives in your contract. And, Mike, you're competing with other edge rushers around the league. So if you feel as though that you touch the guy first, then so be it, because we see it all the time. You know, a quarterback runs out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage. If you are the guy closest to him, guess what? You get the sack, right? You didn't take him to the ground, but that's valuable. Most people think, well, that's selfish. Why would you do that? Why would you take a sack away from your guy? You don't want to do that, but you want to get your just due. You want credit. Would you not do the same thing?
I don't have a problem with it because you guys, pass rushers, they get measured by their sacks. And it's funny because we go on and on talking about, well, there's more to than just sacks, you know, pressures. And what about the run game and maybe sometimes dropping back in coverage? But admit it, these guys, you know, Von Miller can do all these other things wonderfully, but if his sack numbers are way down, it is going to impact how much money he makes. So I get why these guys are obsessed with these sacks. By the way, you, Nick Ferguson, had one sack in your 10-year career. Do you remember it?
Yes, it was against the Chargers and Doug Flutie.
You got Doug Flutie down?
Yes.
Very elusive.
Yes.
Very small, very hard to find.
You know what I asked him once I sacked him? I said, hey, man, my mom is a huge fan. Can we get a signed jersey?
After you sacked him?
After I
on
sacked
the ground.
Him. On the ground.
That's cool. What'd he say?
Of course.
That's awesome. I love Flutie. I still have a box of Flutie Flakes at home. Next, in Four Down Territory.
Second down.
He came out good. I'd say he got about somewhere between 12 and 15 plays. Did the individual work. Hope to do a little more with him today and see where he's at.
Vic Fangio talking about Bradley Chubb, who remains limited at practice. Would you play him?
No, if he's not 85%, I wouldn't play him because here's why. There's 17 games. And not saying that I'm going to overlook the Jacksonville Jaguars, but we need a healthy Bradley Chubb when we roll around and we play the Pittsburgh Steelers. We play Lamar Jackson. We know what he could do as a runner. So why push him out there now and then run the risk of losing him for the remainder of the season? I mean, Vaughn said it himself. You know, we have to eat. We have to push one another. So we need these two bookends edge rushers because we haven't seen them but 1 year together. So let's not put our defense in a tight situation. Rest him. Let's just make sure that he's a good 85%.
And I know the Broncos will never admit to this, but you know it has to be part of their thinking. It's the Jaguars. If we can't beat the Jaguars without Bradley Chubb at 70%, shame on us.
Absolutely.
Shame on us. So next in four down territory.
Third down. Wentz has time, fires upfield. Does that pass go into the end zone? Is it a catch? The signal on the field is a touchdown! Touchdown! INDY! Zach Pascal! 10-yard reception from Carson Wentz, who throws his first touchdown in a Colts uniform, and it's 14-9.
Colts radio, so Hard Knocks in the preseason, which I've gotten bored with. They're livening it up as they are going to do it during the season. They're going to follow the Indianapolis Colts, and we're going to have a Hard Knocks version regular season. I got that news instantly. I was like, yes, that fired me up. I love the idea. As much as I hate Hard Knocks preseason now, I absolutely can't wait to watch Hard Knocks in season. How about you as a player? It's one thing to have the cameras following you around during the preseason. What about during the regular season?
As a fan, I love the idea and the concept, but as a guy that played and a former coach, I absolutely hate it. Because think about the level of distraction. I mean, during the preseason, you never really saw the coaches putting the game plan together. Now, you're not going to see that much of it, but just think about it. You're a coach. You're trying to get your game plan together. You're trying to get your guys into a groove, and there's a guy with a damn camera and a boom mic in your face. It's like, get that out of my face. I know I shove that mic. So that's what you're kind of thinking about. And if for a player, your basic routine during the week, it is now kind of jumbled up because now you have these requirements you have to do per Hard Knocks in the league. Because the league, when you sign your contract,
right,
it says that you as a player, you have to be open to the media. What does that mean? This is what that means. And sometimes it can be a huge pain.
But as a fan, you love it.
As a fan, you love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down. From 48 and for a win. Snap good, hold good, kick up, flag down. Kick is no good, but there is a flag down. Hold on.
Looks like Washington celebrating a little bit.
They're saying offsides.
I think it is offsides.
Washington radio. WFT radio. Giants doing Giants things to blow a game that I thought they were the better team last night, but
you blew it!
Giants messed up, dropped short touchdown passes, jumped offside on game-winning field goals. They end up losing. Washington gets the win, 30-29. Do you look differently at the Broncos' victory after watching the Giants lose the way they did last night?
No, I don't, because here's what happened. After the Broncos' victory, Jason Garrett changed things up. Because he knew he had Chase Young and Montez Sweat, Daniel Jones had to get the ball out of his hands quicker in this game than he did against the Broncos. And you could say, well, they really didn't believe in the Broncos' pass rush because Bradley Chubb wasn't there. We also saw some, you know, design quarterback runs and some RPOs. We didn't see that against the Denver Broncos. But once again, it just seemed as though there was more respect for the pass rush of the Washington football team than it was for the Denver Broncos.
Somebody asked real quick, how close were you to sacking Brady in that playoff game on the play that Champ intercepted the ball and ran it all the way back?
One step.
One step away.
One step. And
you had him in your sights.
That's why he threw the interception, because he couldn't really step into the throw. He was running to his right, and he wasn't able to set his feet. But had he held on to it one more second.
Not even a second.
Yes.
Half second.
But I'll take the play.
Oh, yeah, the play worked
out. Of course.
Great.
It worked perfectly.
But you almost sacked him.
Almost. I actually told him that. I was like, you know, I almost got you, right? And he's like, yeah, I know.
Is this as you guys are jogging down the field after the interception
what? This was after the game.
After the game.
He was real cool about it. He was just like, yeah, but, you know, you guys made a bigger play. And I was like, yeah, that was awesome. And I was like, well, where did Ben Watson come from? And we just kind of looked at each other and shrugged our shoulders.
Almost got him. That would have been career sack number two.
Yes.
But you got Doug Flutie. You would have had Doug Flutie and Tom Brady. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
That is not bad. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. It's an Is It Just Me Friday. We'll give you a chance to get some hot takes out there on the radio for everybody to hear. Also, Nick is going to read his really, 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 really tiny writing and tell us what the keys to victory are for a Bronco win on Sunday. That's next. Head over to the Eagles facility to meet with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And those of you, by the way, Nick Ferguson sitting in for Mark, those of you wondering about the rock, paper, scissors challenge to Nick Sirianni.
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are.
No surprise, Coach Sirianni wishes that never happened, that press conference, because the reaction to it wasn't good. He didn't like the reaction. And despite repeated requests from the local Philadelphia media to do a rock, paper, scissors thing, he understandably has turned it down. But he's going to do it once. Once and once only for our guy Mark Schlereth. And I guess he also said he wanted to challenge Mark to a game of horse as well.
So I guess Sirianni is saying that, one, he's a little more cerebral than Mark Schlereth, and he's more athletic. At the same time, because you don't just challenge a guy to a game of horse, because the last time we saw two guys challenge one another in basketball, it looked really bad.
It did look bad.
Yes.
Tyler Columbus.
Yes, you see two grown men out there just exhausted and tired. And one guy with one, you know, short shorts on, it was like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, me either. me neither. So you're saying Mark isn't cerebral, huh?
Well, I didn't say that. I'm saying that's what I heard. No. I say Nick Sirianni.
And I'm not arguing with you.
Right. Well, you work with him all the time, so you would know, right? But Sirianni
athletic,
is
athletic, yes. Cerebral, no.
Yeah, but this is why he challenged him to, you know, hey, rock, paper, scissors.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but can you really consider rock, paper, scissors to be a cerebral game? Or is it just reaction?
I don't know. I think I've played it twice in my entire life. So when that thing became a thing, I was like, I don't get it. But yeah, apparently he's going to do it for Mark. So we'll see if that shows up. I'm sure it'll show up as part of the broadcast on Sunday. Speaking of coaches who come in and say things that they probably regret because it's met with a giant eye roll, what do you make of some of the reports now coming out of Jacksonville that already some of the veterans there are doing the eye roll when it comes to some of the things Urban Meyer said? And how about Draymond Jones, who played for Urban Meyer at Ohio State, when asked about some of these reports that veterans aren't seeing eye to eye with Urban, and Draymond's like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Do we have the audio? Okay, so the question was about Urban Meyer and getting along with veteran players, and here's what Draymond Jones, who played for him, said.
Am I surprised by it? No.
Why?
Why? I just know how he is. I'm not about to go into great detail about it, but, like, you know, it doesn't surprise me.
Oh.
Mm, wow.
What do you...
A bulletin board material
there. What do you think he is?
Well, he's probably a coach who's had a lot of success on the collegiate level. And he knows that gives him a lot of clout throughout the organization or around the building. So coaches who feel that way, they have a tendency to really, you know, poke out their chest and let the peacock feathers just kind of flow, because they want everyone to know that they are the big dog on campus. Mm-hmm. And they're going to put you in your place. We've seen college coaches or coaches who have been waiting for a long time get NFL jobs to fall through in the same trap. Tom Coughlin was one of them. Greg Williams, another one. Nick Saban, great college coach, but he went down to Miami and he was trying to bully everyone. But you have to understand, you're dealing with grown men. You're not dealing with kids trying to get to the NFL level.
But before we get to Urban Meyer in the pros, this is Draymond Jones talking about his experience with him as a college coach, where I thought part of the reason why these coaches are so successful in college, and maybe why they struggle when they get to the pros, is because they are truly the king. They can walk around with their feathers out because they are the Lord, and nobody can question them. Are you saying that players now in college do the eye roll when these coaches act like that? Because the perception is, well, there's a reason why this guy's been here forever, because he can do that, and everybody just, yes, coach, whatever you say, coach, that works in college. Draymond Jones seems to be indicating no.
Yeah, that happens all the time, because coaches sit in living rooms of high school kids, talk to big mama, you know, dad, uncle, whatever, and they say whatever they need to say to sell the program. At that point, it's academics, then it's athletics. Once the kid gets on campus, it switches. It becomes athletics and academics second. I mean, when I was at Georgia Tech, we would have guys come in every year. And I remember one particular year, we had one guy after a physical practice. He got back in his car and drove back to Miami. I mean, literally got in his car and drove back, and he was just like, this is too much. I was like, dude, man, just take it easy. It's just the first day. They're just trying to ruffle feathers. They're just trying to see who the tough guys are and what you can actually go through. And he was like, no. He's like, screw this. I'm out of here. And he got in his car and he left. And we see players all the time, you know, transfer. Now, you know, the transfer portal is a big thing now. So, yes, you see it happen in college, but you don't see that many guys reporting it and talking about it in public. But in the NFL, you can't come in as a coach that hasn't proved anything and then try to run the show.
All right, give me an example then. Give me an example of some of the things that a college coach like Urban Meyer can get away with, or he thinks he can get away with. But then when he tries it in the pros, it goes over poorly. It's met with an eye roll.
One of those
give
things.
Give me some examples.
Time clock, right? Okay. When you have to be in the building, how long are meetings, right? And more importantly, how do you run your practices? Are you running your practice like an NFL practice, which now it doesn't seem like an NFL practice because you're not really doing a whole heck of a lot. But if you have us out in the sun a lot and constantly repeating drills over and over again, and sometimes straddling that line that the NFLPA said, well, you cannot do this. Like this past summer, he had this competition drill, right? And that was his way of defining or deciding, well, which guys were going to make my team based on this competition drill. And some of those veteran guys like, man, I'm in the league 8 years. I don't need to do this competition drill. You just got here. You trying to prove yourself to us, not the opposite way. And then let's just say if he got real stringent with the rules as far as meals, right? Like he has like dietary things that he loves to eat. So he comes in, he brings all his stuff and everything you like. Let's say you like Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, all of those things go out of the building. You're like, what the hell is this? I mean, before you walked in, we had all of these things. And then now you coming, changing everything. And he's saying, well, you guys have Fruit Loops and Frosted Flakes. How many games did you win last year? And you're like, wait a minute. Those have nothing to do with wins on the field. We just didn't have great personnel and we didn't have great coaching. So these are some of the things where you can ruffle the feathers of veteran guys and really tick them off.
Well, what I'm hearing then is that some of you NFL guys get into the NFL after a while and your priorities change. If you're so triggered by the fact that your Fruit Loops have been taken away, that probably says more about the culture that you have around your football team.
No, it doesn't.
Then the coaches come in and trying to shake things up a little bit.
Do you have something that you enjoy at your house that you love to do that you wouldn't want your wife or your kids to interrupt? Do you have something you enjoy?
Yeah, I've got those things. Yeah, sure.
Okay, what if one day your wife comes and she just interrupts that? All of a sudden, she sees, like, this Marie Kondo, and she wants to refold the clothes in your drawer or change your closet. But you're used to chaos. You're used to having things everywhere because you know how to fix those things.
Yeah, but that I don't think that would lead me to be like, oh, look at Mr. Big Time College Coach coming in here and trying to change everything. You guys were all in college. I mean, I can't imagine that you guys forgot what it was like that now you're in the pros and I'm an adult now and you can't coach me. You can't tell me what. All I hear about you guys is that athletes have never changed over the years. That decades march on, and the one things that haven't changed about athletes is that athletes still like to be coached. Am I right?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So if a guy comes in and he's bringing some of the same methods that maybe were a little bit heavy-handed in college, the guy won there. He won big.
That's
he
college. Won,
but why
that's college
why,
football?
But why can't? But okay, you. But it's not like it's a concept that's foreign to you. You played college football for many years, so why can't you respect the idea that okay, maybe this guy's coming from college, but he was really successful in college. I played in college. I know how successful he was in college. I know his methods worked. Why all of a sudden now, because I'm a, you know, 28-year-old man, I can't respect and listen without rolling my eyes to what he is proposing?
Because that's college football. And what you do on a day-to-day basis with college athletes is a little different once you get to the pros. Because I've been in the league a while. And there's a certain respect that comes along with that based on what I've done as a player. You're walking in the door talking about, hey, look at the national championships I've won. Hey, Tim Tebow was my coach at Florida, and I mean my quarterback at Florida, and we're like, who the hell is Tim Tebow? Oh, the guy you brought in at tight end that couldn't really play. Yeah, you had to cut him. Mm-hmm. So we're supposed to respect that, and you're doing all these unorthodox things that we normally don't do in the pros. Come on, Mike.
Yeah, but Nick, as players right now, it's not like you have a sturdy leg to stand on when it comes to the idea that, you know, you guys are all about doing what it takes to win. I mean, we just got done with a preseason in which, you know, we're hearing about the water police and water breaks, and we can only be out there in padded practices for a certain amount of time. A practice can only go a certain amount of time, and you know, all these rules and regulations that are in the CBA that lead a lot of people like myself as football fans to wonder, do you guys really want to work at this? Or are you just looking for loopholes to not have to work? So you got to understand, at least from my standpoint, the idea of you guys complaining about what a college coach is bringing in and the methods that he's doing that are causing you to roll your eyes, I don't know. You guys are doing enough on your own to make me roll my eyes.
See, here's what you're trying to say without saying it. You're trying to, as you say, you guys, and I've been one of those guys, you're trying to say that, you know, players, we're a little soft. We're a little sensitive. We're a little moist. That's what you're trying to indicate. Right. Here's a guy that had success in college, and then how can we not allow him to come in and do the same things he did at Ohio State or Florida and come into Jacksonville and do that? Well, haven't you seen his resume? Right? He should be able to do these certain things. No, you haven't done anything in this league yet. That's just like a rookie coming in. And right away, he's now taking the mantle and sticking out his chest. No, when Brandon Marshall came here, when I played for the Broncos, we were out doing like off-season conditioning. He comes out with shades on like he's Terrell Owens. And he's talking about they called him Baby T.O. You know Al Wilson and Rod Smith told him to take those damn shades off. You haven't done anything in this league yet, right? And that's why that's a harsh lesson that he had to learn. So Urban Meyer's learning this lesson too. We've seen other coaches go through this. Let's look at our own Vic Fangio. When he came in and he's waited for like 40 years to be a head coach, he took the boombox out of Vaughn's locker and he wouldn't play music at practice, right? But now, job's in jeopardy. He's in year three. Guess what? He's loving everyone. He doesn't just love meatballs, but he's loving everyone. He has now started to change. And if Urban doesn't realize that his players, you got to get them to buy in on what you're doing. If they don't, you won't win. As quickly as he arrived, he will leave the same way.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.